Hi, welcome to Intentional Living Center. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. We're talking marriage today. There is one absolute marriage killer that will quietly and thoroughly and completely sneak up on you in your marriage and destroy it. And I'm going to tell you what it is in just a moment.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a counselor and coach, founder of the Intentional Living Center, and your advocate for the family. Our lines are open and they're toll-free at 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Welcome to Intentional Living Center. As we start this week and focus on marriage today, and I'm thinking about the power of this one thing that can either bring you up or tear you down. In your marriage, and in fact, in every aspect of your life, I think it is the single dividing line between success and failure in most of life. Some of us have a great quantity of this, others just a little bit. Some of us have to work on it, some of us have mastered it. And it is the, I believe, the single biggest attribute to making our marriages work. And it has to do with our attitude, the attitude that we have. And the word attitude is really a description of how we view life, either in an upward position or a downward position. Pilots, if you're those who are listening and you fly, you know that you have an instrument in your aircraft that really reveals to you your attitude. And the attitude is a little measurement of how you relate to the horizon off in the distance. Are you going down or are you coming up? You going down or coming up? And that's really what attitude is all about. Attitude is either downward or upward. It's interesting. We can have a great attitude in some areas of our life, and then we walk into our marriage, and all of a sudden we got a crummy attitude. I'll tell you, your attitude will make a difference. And the Bible speaks to this. I'll get to it in a moment. But I'd love to hear from you. How has making a decision to change your attitude made a difference in your life? I'd love to hear how your attitude has made a difference in your marriage. 888-888-1717 is my number, 888-888-1717. You know, life comes down to making decisions of how we choose to live. Salvation is all about God's grace through faith, it says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. So there's nothing we can do with a great attitude or living intentionally with our attitude that's going to make us more saved than we already are or not today. You know, our attitude doesn't get us saved. God does. He is the one who does that in our life. But our attitude is a choice that we make. And there are do's and don'ts to making your marriage work. And just a few verses later, the same Apostle Paul, writing about life, he says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. So when you think about do's and don'ts, here are some do's and don'ts. Watch what you say. And he goes on to say, only for those things which are according to the needs will benefit those who are listening. He goes on to say, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger. And then he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ also forgave you. And then he goes on to say, be imitators of God. And then be filled with the Spirit. All of that in a few verses. And so this idea of how we live, the do's and don'ts of making our marriage work, is a matter of choice. And if you want to have a marriage that's really going to work, your attitude is going to make a difference. I'd love to hear how your attitude or your spouse's attitude, how that's made a difference in your life. 888-888-1717.
I try to be intentional every day when I talk to my wife, like I'm still in pursuit of her. Not like I am, that I am. It's like we just first met, but I'm trying to entice her to be with me, and the Lord's laid it on me that if you're not going to say something that is like when you first met her to entice her to be with you, then it really works out good.
What I'm intentionally doing over the last 6 months or so is making sure that my wife knows that I am here for her. I make sure that she knows that our marriage is very important, that she's very important to me, and my focus is on her.
One thing I could do for my wife would be just to listen, let her explain things out, not always have a comeback, and just be patient. patient to hear what she had to say, and then slow to speak.
Those are all great attitudes, aren't they? Nina is on the line. Yes. Nina, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
How has attitude played into your marriage?
Well, I've been married a little over 27 years, and I unknowingly married a man who was an addict. And in the beginning, there was a lot of rage and fighting and arguments, and he got sober when after we'd been married about 2 years, and was sober for several years. And then a couple of years ago, he started. We had a business that a trusted person had taken money and done some things. And anyway, we ended up having to file bankruptcy. And then he started drinking and got a DUI. Mm. And then he was hospitalized for depression.
Wow.
And during all this, a lot of the old rage and anger and stuff came in. And I had committed my life to God and basically surrendered to Him, because I had realized I had a food addiction, and I was able to release 134 pounds while we were going through all this.
Wow.
And I met with a lady at church who I trusted. I finally called her one day, and because I didn't feel like I could take anymore, and she helped me. And during the conversation, she mentioned something about respect, and it was just like a light bulb went off in my head. And so I started researching and found some material on respecting your husband, and I started doing it. And I found that not only did it change me, because my daily, I committed to being with God every morning for, 30 to 45 minutes and reading my Bible before anyone else in the house was up. And I started treating my husband with respect. And I have to say, in the beginning, I'm not so sure. I mean, I've always loved him, don't get me wrong, but I'm not so sure I loved everything about him. And so, but I noticed a huge change in him in just a week or two. And so I kept on, and our marriage actually got to where I felt like it was a dream, and that we were back to where we were when we were dating and before. And just about 3 weeks ago, I found out that he had started to use again.
Mm.
So I think my attitude about this, what you're talking about today, what I would like people to know is that my attitude hasn't changed. I still love him. I still tell him I love him. I still respect him. But I have set up boundaries and let him know that he's put a plan in place with our minister, and our minister is letting know that, he's not forgiven himself, and for some reason he doesn't accept it. I mean, he accepts it verbally, but in his being, he doesn't accept that Jesus died for his sins too. So he's still struggling with that. But what I do is I pray every morning for him that God will touch his heart and let him know how much he loves him and that he is, worthy of the forgiveness. And I pray that, he gets what he needs during the day. And there's no yelling, there's no screaming, there's no fighting. I have set some boundaries in place that if he chooses to use again, and our minister and I have talked to him, and that it's not a threat or anything like that, that I will still stand by him. I don't plan on divorcing him or anything like that, but I can't live and watch him destroy himself.
Well, see, what you've done here, Nina, is you stepped in and you said, I am going to be in charge of how I respond to my husband. In other words, I'm in charge of my attitude toward him and also my behavior. And then you put a plan together that doesn't include yelling and screaming and begging and demanding and doing the things that often fit into, we got a bad attitude, we get sarcastic or we get critical. Those things are non-productive. I'm telling you, in our marriages, I have seen so many couples who just pick at each other over things that maybe are rightfully need to be picked at and dealt with, like addiction or like pornography or like other issues. But it's much better to have an attitude which is like what Nina's sharing, positive in terms of prayer, trusting God, and then it's okay to put boundaries in place as well. Having that balance is a powerful thing in a marriage, that's for sure. Hey, Nina, thank you for your call. We're praying for you, and we pray that this will turn and you guys will have many more years of real happiness and health in your marriage.
Thank you. Right. The good thing, Dr. Randy, is I know that no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay because I'm relying on God to take control and I've surrendered that control to Him because me having control did not work.
Well, that's the right kind of attitude. Thanks for your call, Nina.
Hello. I would just like to say to all those people out there that their marriages are crumbling and they're near divorce, I just want to just say trust God and just go to prayer each and every day. God saved my marriage about 7 months ago. Divorce papers were written up. It was just a horrible time in my life. I told God that I would trust Him and that His will be done and not mine. Living intentionally and making a decision to live for Christ and to just walk with Him, and He rewarded me for my obedience. And I just want to tell all those men out there that your marriage can be saved and to just be intentional. My wife and I's marriage is stronger than ever now. And we love God. We're both on the same page. And I just want to thank God for all that He has done and all that He continues to do.
That's a great, great story. Thank you for sharing that. We appreciate it. Shirley, how are you today?
Hello. How are you?
Good. Good. Appreciate your call.
Yes, thank you.
How has attitude made a difference in your marriage?
Well, it did because it was a phrase that was mentioned to me in the beginning when I was first married. I really thought that I had to be right on everything. But I worked at a temple in Atlanta, Georgia, and the matron would come in our study every morning, and she would say the same thing. It is better to be kind than to be right.
Hmm.
I know people have their opinions, but, you know, sometimes you do argue about these little petty things.
Well, most of the things that we argue about, frankly, are pretty small things that have become bigger because we didn't deal with them. And also, it also fits in that we argue about things because we take that approach. We want to be right as opposed to being the right person. Now, how is this? Are you married, Shirley?
Yes, I am now.
Okay.
Because my first husband was deceased, so.
And attitudes made a difference in your marriage?
In the marriage and in my children and basically in my life, yes.
Now, do you have by naturally a positive attitude in life, or is this something you've had to work on?
Oh, no, naturally. You know, it's really funny you ask that because I was brought up in a very negative, superstitious life as a child, and I just developed this, and I'm sure it was being a member of our church, things I've learned.
Well, when we stay close to God and we allow the Holy Spirit, which is a very positive force in our life, obviously, as He fills our life. All right. Thank you, Shirley. Appreciate it. You know, thinking about how positive are you, how do you look at life? Do you look at the bright side or the not so bright side? Here's some questions for you. Are you better at finding what is right or what is wrong in most circumstances? When you walk into a situation, do you tend to automatically look at the downside of something? Do you look forward to the future? Are you happy about the success of others, or do you look for potential flaws or problems to their success? Do you take time to notice something good nearly every day, good in your spouse, in your children, maybe even in your own life? Are you more likely to point out a positive trait, or are you more likely to focus on a mistake or a flaw in the people around you? Those are really profound questions that reveal, I think, pretty clearly how our attitude fits into our life. Those questions and more help for you on marriage attitude available when you come on over to our website. Go to theintentionallife.com, click on the broadcast highlights, and it's there for you. We're about halfway mark here on today's program talking about marriage attitude. I hope you're not blowing this off because this particular topic, I believe, is probably one of the top one or two most essential discussions when it comes to relationships, in particular marriage. Our attitude either kills us or allows us to be successful in life. It's a decision that we make. If we tend to see things from a negative attitude, if we see things downward, and I know that each of us can struggle with that, and I certainly do, but when I do, I realize that that singular problem will keep me from being successful at what matters most. And that's true in your marriage as well. How is your attitude made a difference in your marriage? Come and join us. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Well, I had stopped by our Facebook site and I ran across a great quote from Debbie that she got from a conference. Here's what it said. I choose to make the rest of my life the best of my life. That's a quote for today's program. And speaking of Facebook, do you know how big our Facebook family is? After the United States, the Philippines, India, and Pakistan are the most active countries in our Facebook family. So the next time you drop by, remember there are people from all over the world who have chosen to live an intentional life in Jesus Christ, just like you. So when it comes to marriage, how's your tude? Dr. Randy's got more for you, helping you to be intentional for your marriage. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Life is a precious thing. You know, having peace in my marriage, meaningful family relationships, getting our health and finances in order. These things seem so elusive. Best-selling author and speaker Dr. Randy Carlson has developed DVD and CD resources to help get our lives running smoothly. Intentional Living Study Kits feature Dr. Randy sharing biblical insights, and you can track your progress through the workbooks. Use these resources by yourself or with a group. Visit theintentionallife.com. Go to resources and click on the store link.
Having instant access to important information is something we've come to expect as part of life in this day and age. And now, you can have instant access to a plan for success in every area of your life with the mobile app from the Intentional Living Center. Search by topic for audio and video clips from Dr. Randy Carlson on things like marriage, finance, parenting, and more.
I will show you how to create a clear picture for your future.
You can interact with the Intentional Living blog and even listen to the daily program at a time that works for you. Download it today for instant access to things that matter from the Intentional Living Center.
The next time life is overwhelming and you're feeling pressure to fix things for yourself or maybe for somebody else, remember, you might just need to let go.
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
Now, to let go doesn't mean you stop caring. It means that you can't do it for somebody else. To let go is not to cut yourself off, but rather to realize that you can't control another person. To let go is not to enable poor behavior or poor choices, but it's to allow another person to learn from natural consequences. To let go means not regretting the past, but rather growing and living for the future. To let go is to fear less and to love more. So what person or situation do you think you might need to let go of? For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Greg Jantz.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open at 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt, and welcome back here to the Intentional Living Center. We're talking about marriage attitude or attitude in marriage, which I think is a singular focus of not only today's program, but maybe over the next 30 days. Think about how changing your attitude could change your life. Intentional Living, when we travel around the country and teach people on how to live intentionally, we focus on our thinking, we focus on our emotions, we focus on our behavior, and this fourth one, we focus on our attitude. Because each of these represents one of the circles that we look at in terms of God's intention for us when it comes to be successful in our lives and our marriages and so on. And today we're focusing on one piece, and that's our attitude. Of course, that comes from how we choose to think and what we choose to do. They all connect together, don't they? But an attitude is one of these four circles in our life that if we don't get a handle on, that can either bring us down, destroy us, or it can bring us up. And so what kind of attitude do you have and how do you manage it? We asked the question on Facebook, how does your attitude play a role in your marriage? Amy says, don't take the bait of arguing. It's never worth it and oftentimes doesn't really matter. Sherry says, I think your attitude toward your marriage sets the tone for your marriage, period. I agree with that. Mark and Angel said to be a servant. If I put my wife first and she puts me first, it's hard to let small things come between us, and it's easy to communicate. All right, let's go to Mari, who's on the line today. Mari, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. How long have you been married, Mari?
I've been married for 17 years.
What have you learned about this thing of attitude in marriage?
Well, you know, first of all, I wanted to tell you I really, really appreciate your show. You have a great insight in many different subjects, and I really love listening to you and learning a little bit more about how to, you know, how to just be a better person so that I can just therefore have a better marriage and be a better parent. I just want to tell you real quickly, I'm a Hispanic person, a woman that was raised by a very strong mother. We didn't, you know, my dad was not on the picture. So having that example, obviously, that carried that into my marriage. I married an Anglo person that has very different concept of marriage. And that was a bit of a battle at first because I made many decisions without even consulting him that just created a lot of problems. But about 8 years ago, I read the book Love and Respect, mm-hmm. and that just completely changed my attitude towards my husband, and it really did open up my eyes to the reality that I did needed to change my attitude, because I don't know that he could continue to just put up with my disrespect in that way. The first lady that called was talking about respecting her husband, and quite honestly, that really, I believe, that has saved my situation. I don't think that I was ever close to divorce, because thank God my husband is a wonderful man. But in reality,
how did you change your attitude? I think people kind of recognize I need to change my attitude, but what specific things did you do differently?
Specifically, one of the things that helped me tremendously, it was to see the good in him every day, mm-hmm. To focus on not pay attention to the things perhaps that he wasn't doing right for me, but to see all the great things that he was doing right for me. Another thing that I changed, it was to ask him, you know, where would you want me to just make decisions on my own? And you know, is it okay to buy this much if it's only $50? Or is it okay, or do you want me to talk to you about it? You know, I mean, those little things were huge in my situation, because mm-hmm. I would just make those decisions without him even knowing, and then, you know, then he would, well, you know, I wish you would have asked me, because I had other plans. So financially, you know, it helped a lot to be on the same page with him.
Well, two things you said there that are really important, Mari, for others who are working on attitude. It's a matter of focus. It really is. It's a matter of what we focus on. We become the kinds of things that we focus on. Sometimes in counseling, we talk about that reframing. You know, that idea that it's like a picture frame, and whatever frame you put it in really makes a difference. You ever noticed on a painting or a photograph, the frame that you put it in makes a difference in how you view it, how you experience it? And that's true in terms of how we look at our spouse and marriage. What kind of frame do we put around it? What do we focus on? Are we focusing on the problems in a picture when we see it, or do we focus on the things that are good? It's a decision that we make. And I think, Mari, in your example, you gave two really important points. One is focus on the right things. And secondly, talk, clarify. When something's important to your spouse, and maybe not as important to you, you love them. Isn't it interesting that even here in the scripture, we talked about the Apostle Paul. He says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building others up according to their needs, it says. Not your needs, but their needs. So sometimes we have to adjust and say, that doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to communicate to my spouse in a way that they need, something important to them. And that truly is a great attitude. Mari, thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Intentional leaders
expect opposition. If you're doing something good, I'm telling you, you're going to get opposition. It could come in the form of government regulations, competition, partners, the bank. It can come from your family, but there's always going to be opposition. Wouldn't it be nice if everything just flowed smoothly? I mean, just there wasn't a problem. One last verse here. Nehemiah had done this great thing. He'd done his inside work. He'd done his outside work. He'd built the plan. And then here, right after this great time of these people starting this work, listen to what happened immediately after Nehemiah called these people to work. There's a big but here. But when Sanballat and Tobiah heard of it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?" Do you have people who oppose you in your business? Do you feel opposition to whatever it is you feel God's leading you to do or the direction your business is taking?
Hey, listen, this is a very interesting teaching this month of July for members. It was recorded at the Intentional Living Conference for Families and Business, and the principles that I taught from the book of Nehemiah are applicable to every person, business people, business owners, the homemakers, because the principles work, because they're leadership principles. And it's our gift to you going out this month. You probably have it by now if you're a member. If you're not, you know, when you join in with the ministry every month and support, a brand new teaching comes from me to you to say thank you for your support. The one for August, for instance, is on the topic of the power of sharpening your edge. How do you do that? And I give the specific tips on how to sharpen your edge so you can live more intentionally and successfully in your life. And for September, it's the one question that can change your life. Is look at Scripture on the power of questions, and that'll be coming your way in September. If you're not a member, just come and join us today. Please be a part of this team. Your support helps us stay on the air, helps us continue this ministry. All you need to do is go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on the donate button in the upper right-hand corner. It'll take you right to the donate page, and you can join us. And you'll be a part of making a difference on a monthly basis. Whatever the amount is, we just leave that between you and the Lord. We just pray that you'll come and join us today. Would you do that? Go to theintentionallife.com or call 888-1717, press number 4, during regular business hours. Coming up, a walk in the dark, just a little bit more, and the fine art of misunderstanding. Those are three topics coming your way that I think will be very encouraging and helpful to you right here from the Intentional Living Center. We'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.